the great temple of the thousand Buddhas in Gyantse in Tibet. Really an extraordinary place. It used to be on the main trade route from Nepal into Lhasa, and now seems a little bit like a backwater, really, on the plateau, on the high Tibetan plateau. But one, I think, what I would say is one of the most impressive and extraordinary Buddhist monuments in the world. It's a large white structure with several levels of chapels that you can go into, circumambulate, walk around, and visit each one of these little chapels, paying homage, if you want, to the Buddha that resides therein, but also seeing in each one of the chapels a visual representation of the particular worship liturgy that has to be associated, that should be associated with each one of these mandalas. If you're understanding this course not just as an intellectual exploration of Buddhism, but maybe as a way of getting some hints about where you'd like to go in the world to try to see some Buddhism, I'd really strongly suggest that you go and see this extraordinary monument at Gyantse in southern Tibet. Along with Lhasa, it's one of the most impressive aspects of impressive manifestations of Tibetan culture. So these are all mandalas that can be used in one way or another as objects of worship or as places of worship. That's really the category that we're discussing. But obviously mandalas can be used as powerful tools for meditation. That's important too. In fact, all of our discussion of mandalas has really led us in that direction. In some rituals connected with the mandala, Tibetan practitioners visualize the deities that are found in this sacred space. And these visualizations often, as I suggested when we were talking about Akshobhya, are quite detailed and follow the form of the tantric deities as they're represented in the texts and in tantric art. Now, if you think about it, if you remember back a couple of lectures, perhaps two or three lectures ago, when we were talking about emptiness, I asked you to do a simple meditation with me in which we visualized a Buddha in front of us, a Buddha with a golden body, many rays coming out of the body at the end of each ray. There was another Buddha that it was glowing in its own way. And then I said that we should imagine that we were going to travel to, say, a flower market, or travel for perhaps to all of the corners of the universe and gather together all of the flowers that we could wrap up in some imaginative way in our arms and present as offerings to this Buddha. I use that as an example of a meditation on emptiness, basic Mahayana practice that can be used to explore some of the ambiguities and the perplexities of the emptiness doctrine. But I also talked about that as a way of planting a seed that we could then nurture a little bit when we talk about tantric practice, because this is exactly what these tantric practitioners are doing. They're visualizing the deities of the mandala in front of them and making offerings to them that are meant to invoke their power and to make their energy present in the world. But they're doing something in this tradition that's a little different than what I described before. We still, when we were talking about this visualization, thought of the Buddha as being different from ourselves, as sitting out there in front of us as the object of our worship. In the tantric tradition, you dissolve the distinction between the Buddha and yourself. So at the end of this ritual, after this worship is done, when you've created the image of the Buddha, you've invoked its power and made it real in front of you, you dissolve that Buddha into your heart so that that Buddha becomes you and you become that Buddha. What more powerful way in a meditative experience of overcoming the duality between yourself and the Buddha? They sometimes say that the tantric tradition is a powerful way of achieving enlightenment very quickly. If not in this life, in just a few lifetimes. You can see from this ritual why that might be possible, because you're using ritual and you're using various kinds of symbolic forms to Imagine the Buddha in front of you and then dissolve yourself into the Buddha and the Buddha into you. You become the Buddha and he becomes you.